After the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, as we observed last week, they were near the city of Jericho. And this was their first intended destination in the Promised Land. In the next chapter, we'll see them conquer the city. But first, God has them pause momentarily to take care of some priorities. And we've been talking for the last several weeks about entering the Promised Land and moving into a new place of peace and prosperity and joy and abundance that follows you from this day forward. And that's why this series is subtitled then, How to Enjoy the Rest of Your Life. You know, and I began this series saying that in order to make your move into the Promised Land, that you need to turn the page. In other words, you need to let go of the past and to focus on the future. And my exact words, in case you didn't memorize them, were, you must be willing to move forward, to start afresh, to take a new step when the time calls for it. And over the course of my ministry, I have said this more times than I can count. It's a simple fact of spiritual and emotional well-being. We must learn to leave the past behind. However, this evening, we'll be looking at a story that's telling us that we should hang on to certain fragments of the past. And we'll learn that the past has the power to serve us today and lead us then into tomorrow. Next week's message will be about the Israelites and how they took possession of the land that God had promised them. And this week we'll look at three habits that we need to develop to get ready for the life in the Promised Land. Two of them deal with our connection to the past, and one of them is about our perception of the present. And all of them propel us on then to the future, into the life that God has in store for us. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we read the story about Rahab the prostitute, and we saw how that she was living in the Promised Land, but she wasn't experiencing the benefits of the promised life? Well, God did not want that to happen to the people of Israel. And so in order to prevent it, he told Joshua to do a few things. And so we'll look at them this evening and learn how we should prepare our hearts for entrance into the promised land too. Now, first of all, we need to make it a point to remember. Chapter 4, the first six verses here, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you." So here's the part that I want you to catch then. Verses 6 and 7. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. You know, God wants his people to have a visual reminder of his mercy and his power so that they would remember. And so the children here would remember this. So their children's children would remember how God came through for the people of Israel on this journey then into the promised land. But how about you? Now, is there an area of your life where you stop to stack some stones in honor of what God has done for you? You know, I encourage you to create these visual reminders of the goodness, of his goodness and his mercy and of his power. You know, we have a tendency to forget. We get caught up in today's crisis and we fail to remember yesterday's miracles. Remember how God provided for us yesterday and how it ignites our faith. when we do that, it just inspires us to trust Him for tomorrow. One of the things, the conversations that Peggy and I had as we came down the mountains from the Christian Worker Seminar this year, was the many events that had happened in our lives. So many things, you know, cars along the road and all sorts of events like that. But the thing that we said in the end, here we are. God has brought us through all those things to this point. He never left us abandoned. There was always a way. Everything worked out somehow. You know, that was what He had done for us yesterday. And perhaps for us, the memorial ought to be a car up on block setting to remind us of all the things that He has done for us. But there are some parts of the past, you know, that we do need to hang on to. But I want you to make this clear in case you're wondering. God didn't tell Joshua here just to build a big pile of rocks so that you remember the episode with the golden calf, or make a big monument so we can document all the complaining and rebellion that took place in the desert. No, that part of the past is gone. It's over, it's forgotten, it's forgiven. It's time then to move on. God doesn't want you to build monuments to your failures. He wants you to repent. He wants you to start over. He wants you to learn what you can from the mistakes. But then He wants you to move on. He wants you to meditate on His goodness, not on the badness that happened in your life. He wants you to focus on His strength, not on your weakness. He wants you to remember the many things that He has provided, not the few things that you failed to do. Get in the habit of stacking stones. Make it a point to remember day in and day out what God has done for you. Make a memorial. Hang a picture on the wall, or write a song. Spray graffiti on the wall of your garage. You know, give yourself a visual reminder of God's work in your life. And this will prepare you for the promised land. Now, secondly, we need to go back to square one. In Joshua 5, the Lord spoke in verses 2 through 5 here. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. Circumcision was a part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. It had been a tradition among the Hebrews for many generations. And it was established in Genesis 17 when God told Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. And God said then to him in Genesis 17, says, "This is the covenant that your and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. This will be a sign that you and they have accepted this covenant. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will thus bear the mark of my everlasting covenant." This was a foundational tenet in the Old Testament covenant with God. But while the people of Israel were wandering through the desert, they had abandoned this practice. Now, as a new generation prepared to enter the land that God had promised for them, He told them to go back to square one and to reestablish then this ritual. In the New Testament, we learn that physical circumcision is not essential to being a Christian. You know, it was an Old Testament custom that symbolized one's devotion to God. But in Romans, Paul says this. He says, "True circumcision is not a cutting of the body, but a change of heart produced by God's Spirit." And just as God told Joshua and the people of Israel, return to square one of the old covenant, He's telling us today to return to square one of the new covenant. And what is square one? It's a personal, faith-based, love-driven relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. No matter where your relationship with God takes you, you will never leave the boundaries of square one. It will always be first and foremost a personal relationship with Jesus Christ based on faith, driven by love. Do you know what prevents many Christians from entering the promised land? They abandon the basics. They get sidetracked into thinking that the Christian life is about winning arguments or fighting for this social issue or supporting this political candidate or listening to this style of music or attending this type of church. And so their daily connection with Jesus somehow gets lost in the shuffle. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke through John to the church at Ephesus, and he said this to him. He says, Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Can you remember the time in which you were the most spiritually alive? Now, when you were closer to Jesus than ever before, when His presence was real, you know, when His voice was clear, when His hand was visible, you know, for some of you, that describes your life today. But for others, it's a memory. If your best days with Christ were in the past, ask yourself a simple question. What was I doing then that I'm not doing now? What was I thinking then that I'm not thinking now? Was I praying more? Was I praising more? Was I serving more? Was I spending more time in the Word? Is God the center of my thoughts now like He was then? Square one in the Christian life is a faith-based, love-driven relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't enjoy the pleasures of the promised land if you've left your first love behind. Go back to square one. Make sure that your spiritual life is about you loving Jesus more than anything else. And this prepares you for the blessings that God has in store for you. Now, thirdly, recognize how sacred this moment is. And when I say this moment, I'm not referring specifically to this moment when you're hearing me speak. I'm referring to every moment that is called this moment. Every moment that can be called now. Every day that is today. This is holy ground. Verses here in Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for His servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Do you know what I find significant about this story? Joshua wasn't in the promised land yet. What was holy about that place where he was standing? He was outside Jericho. No battles had been fought. No victories had been won. And yet the angel said, "This place where you are standing at this moment, at this time, is holy ground." Soon Joshua would receive directions on how to take the city of Jericho. Soon the battle would begin. But first, Joshua needed to recognize the sacred nature of the moment, to acknowledge that he was in the presence of God. We tend to think that when we achieve a certain level of success, God will be with us more so than he is now. We think that God will love us more than he does now. We think that we will have better access to him than we have now. But he wants us to understand this moment, this place, where you are right now, is holy ground because he is with you. As you hear these words spoken today, he is with you. As you remember these words tomorrow, he is with you. Recognize the holiness of every moment. We read these stories now knowing how the end, we know that Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Remember though, that in chapter 5, Joshua didn't know what was going to take place in chapter 6. He knew that God had promised him this stretch of land, but he also knew that after 40 years of wandering in the desert, his people were ill-equipped to take it. He didn't know how they would conquer Jericho any more than he knew how they would cross the Jordan River in last week's message. The angel of the Lord wanted Joshua to understand this. Where you are now, even outside the boundaries of the promised land, is holy ground. Because God is with you. And he's leading you every step of the way. You don't have to wait until everything in your life is perfect to experience the fullness of God. Even now, even while you're still on the journey, even now when you're anticipating a battle or two, you can rest in the presence of God. Even if you haven't yet arrived, you're standing on holy ground. Why? Because God is right here with you this moment and every moment. If you want to enter the promised land tomorrow, acknowledge his presence in your life today. Recognize that every day is a holy day. Every place is holy ground because you are in the presence of God. As we stand between the desert and the promised land, we need to understand that God wants us to live today how we know we should live tomorrow. He wants us to live today how we lived our best moments of yesterday. In this journey from the desert land to the promised land, God wants us to learn to live this day as if the promises of tomorrow have already been realized. The past is past. You know, you heard me say it 1,000 times. You know, your sins, your mistakes, your failures, your regrets, they're ancient history. There's no need to visit them again. But there are pieces of your past that you should hang on to. There have been times in your life when God revealed his greatness and his glory. Cling to these. You know, snatch some stones here. Make some kind of monument so that you never forget what God has done for you. Replaying this part of your past empowers you to experience the promises of the future. And if you find that you have inadvertently left behind some of these fundamental values of your spiritual life, go back to square one. Return to your first love. Circumcise your heart anew. Give it to Jesus. The Christian life is a faith-based, love-driven, personal relationship with Him. Don't try to make it anything less. Go back to square one and do the things that you did before. This empowers you to move forward to the promises of tomorrow. And recognize that this moment, where you are today, is holy ground. God is with you. Take your shoes off and acknowledge His presence. Let Him lead the rest of the way into the promised land.